Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So the God of Miracles, we're in a series we've been in for quite a while. And this morning is session 17, if you can believe we've been doing it that long. And I've entitled this one, The North Lake Center Story. You say, what meaneth thou this? Well, I'm gonna give you a couple of backdrop words that the Lord has given me that I've been waiting on really for a long time, since 2012. I want to give you those, just a little snapshot. In 2012, some of you guys who have been tracking more closely with the storyline of what the Lord has done over at the prayer room, which is the house of prayer that we are very closely connected with, those of you who've been paying kind of close attention to the storyline over there might be a little bit more familiar with some of this. But in 2012, I had a series of encounters with the Lord that you just can't make an encounter happen. Lord, give me an encounter right now. Amen. It doesn't work that way. They just happen when they happen. I mean, you want them to happen, but you can't make them happen. And I guess you could lie about them and pretend you had one when you didn't, but that would be bad for every reason. So I'm just telling you about real ones that happened to me. You know, I had a series of encounters while I was in the prayer room over the course of a couple of months where the Lord was talking to me about a future season. He just kept saying, next season. The next season will be this. The next season will be that. And there were some parameters, some defining characteristics that the Lord was giving me about the next season, whatever the heck next means. There were some parameters that the Lord gave me, and one of the things he said was, the next season will be the best season of your life. And that was exciting. It was also kind of like, well, let's get on with it, you know? Because at that moment, it was not an awesome season. There was all sorts of gnarly happening all around me in ministry and in life and personal experiences. It was just kind of a tough time. And in that encounter, when the Lord said the next season will be the best season of your life, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, does this only apply to me personally? And I immediately felt the Lord like every area of your life. And I asked specifically, Forerunner Fellowship 2. And I heard the Lord say, yes, Forerunner Fellowship 2. And I was like, okay. So I have been expecting since 2012 that there is a coming next season, whatever that means, that is going to be pretty incredible. And it's going to touch the prayer room. It's going to touch my personal life. It's going to touch Forerunner Fellowship. It's going to touch, you know, whatever. And I've been anticipating that. You can't make next season start, though. That's another one of those things you're not in charge of. The Lord, he's just really funny because he says stuff and we think we know what it means and we're mostly wrong. But he's real. I mean, what he says is true. You just don't really know what it's going to look like. What was really interesting about that is as the Lord was giving me that word about the next season being this really incredible season, there was so much yuck in the current season and that yuck lasted a long time. And I believe what the Lord was saying was not tomorrow. You're in a season right now. When that season transitions and we start the next season, the next one is the one that's going to be defined by so much of this that the Lord was speaking. Well, another word that he gave, and I would just encourage all of you, lock on in your faith on this one because it could do you no harm. The next thing I felt the Lord say in the midst of all that was, I'm going to bless everyone who's connected to you. And I very much wanted to see that because in that moment in life, it looked like everybody who was connected to me was being cursed. There was a really rough season of time where it was like, don't be Brad's friend. That won't go good for you right now. Like, let's just leave him for a minute. He'll be fine. It was a tough, tough number of years where there were just issues and attacks of the enemy and just lack and difficulty kind of at every angle. It was really a tough season. And so to hear the Lord speak that he was going to bless everybody who was connected to me, I was excited about that. I care about the people who are around me. I don't want them suffering. I want them, you know, prosperous, enjoying life. And he spoke that. And another word that just was another one we got in that season of time, and I went back this morning and looked. We've had 10 either dreams or prophetic encounters, or we've had 10 words. We'll say it that way. We've had 10 words about going back to Pioneer Parkway. That's a word that we've gotten again and again, 10 different times. And I always assumed what that meant because a number of years ago, the Prayer Room Missions Base was located at Cooper and Pioneer in Arlington. It's actually right up the road. It's about, you know, probably 2 miles from me, not even that far. And at Cooper and Pioneer, we were there for a number of years, and we were getting these words about going back to Pioneer Parkway. I believe that prophetic word is going to have layers of meaning. I don't think that what I'm about to tell you this morning is the fullness of that. But I do find it interesting how closely related it is to that. I'm just telling you all this because, like, I've been pondering these words since 2012. And while you might be entering into this conversation this morning, I've been dialoguing with the Lord about this stuff for 8 years. And so it's very important to me. I'm thinking about these things a lot. And so when you start to, if you pray about something all the time and then you start to see God do the thing that he hasn't done for a long time, I mean, he was just committed to not doing it. Like, I am God and I am not doing that. You can't make me. And then when it starts to happen, it's alarming because you're like, whoa, dang, this is that. I've been believing you for this and here we are. These things are starting to happen. It's profound. So I just share those with you as a little bit of a backdrop for what we're going to talk about this morning, how we got to this moment. I want to give a little bit of a preface with this story I'm about to tell. In terms of how fast details came together, I have never experienced anything this supernatural before. In terms of how fast the details came together, I have never experienced a miracle like this before. This is of a new order, in my opinion, okay? Because even as fast as things came together for the Nora building, this came together much faster. I mean, so much so that like a week ago, I didn't have anything to say, okay? So, I mean, there's a lot there. I've got 25, it's actually, I counted it a little bit later, it's more like 27, but we'll go with 25. I've got 25 reasons, I'm going to tell you them. I'm just not going to number them. 1, 2, 17. I'm going to tell you on the front end. Okay. I've got 25 reasons that the Lord has confirmed in the last 10 days that this plan is the Lord. 25 individual little moments where it's like his grace, a wink, somehow a help, a supernatural something. Details just happen to line up the right way again and again and again and again and again. And I don't mean five, I mean 25 in a week. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Now, it's no mystery. FF has been growing. That's awesome. It also creates some new pressures that we need to be able to answer. And one of the things that I've been talking to the Lord about is, Lord, we need a new space. We can't stay here. It's no longer conducive for us. We're going to need a different space. And doing my best to try to be discerning, to try to lean on what I've done in the past that the Lord has been in, I have been trying to keep my ears open, what might be out there, what's available. I have not been investing a lot of energy because I didn't feel the Lord's permission to invest a lot of energy in researching, but I've done at least a little bit to kind of know a little bit of what's out there and what's available. And it's all way too expensive and impossible. Isn't that exciting? There's absolutely no hope for us. We are a hopeless group. But God, right? Actually, I'll tell you what, I would way rather be in the but God zone, okay, than anywhere else, because if it's up to me, we're just in a lot of hurt, okay? We're in a lot of trouble. But when the Lord makes a plan clear, when the Lord is the one that opens the doors and then kicks you through it, I don't mean even an option, you just find yourself through a door, it's a lot easier to say yes because you've already said it because you just got kicked through a door. So I was processing with the Lord, and I'm trying to do my best as a leader to recognize we're growing on Sunday mornings. We're going to need an answer sooner than later. And the problem is, the more that we grow, it's a great problem, the more that we grow, the faster we have to have that answer, but the less time we have to figure out what that answer is. And the Lord's not really been making things clear. I came up with a plan, and I've done this before, and the Lord's blessed it. I came up with a plan, and then I gave the Lord, not like an ultimatum, but I gave him a deadline of, okay, look, I'm going to talk to our leadership team about this bad plan I came up with, okay? And we're going to start moving forward on it and ask you to bless the snot out of it. Or if you want to change the plan, just change the plan. I mean, it's fine. I'm not married to this plan. You can change it if you want to. Just change it. I said, but I need you to change it by June 4th. And the reason is we're marching into the summer. We're growing. We hit the fall. We're going to grow some more. We got to get some answers here, folks. We got to get them quick. And our leadership team, before our church, our leadership team needs to be in agreement for a game plan. What are we going to do? We're all going to just, you know, have zoo church. We're going to go to the Fort Worth Zoo and have church out in the parking lot. Like, we have to have a plan, okay? Even a bad plan is better than no plan. And I know how the Lord is really good at amending even the dumbest plans, okay? So I came up with a strategy that I felt like he was in at least enough to be able to present to our team. And my game plan, in my mind, was to present that at our leadership team small group on June 4th. And I told the Lord for a few weeks, okay, Lord, if you want to do something different, show me what that is before our small group on June 4th. Okay, Thursday night, June 4th, which was a week and 3 days ago or whatever. You got me? Tracking with the timeline? All right. It is 12 p.m. on June 4th, and I have no better plan than the plan that I got, okay? And I walk into the weekly pastor's prayer meeting that we do every week, and Joe Centineo, who's one of the pastors that we've got great relationship with, known him for 20 years. I'm old. I've known someone for 20 years. Yeah, okay. So known him for 20 years, great pastor in the area. He comes to this prayer meeting. I've been in a prayer meeting with Joe near weekly for 8 years. So I know Joe very well, okay? And I prayed for him, he prayed for me. I said, Joe, what can I pray for you about? He told me some stuff and I was gonna start to pray for him. And then he said, hey, listen, you know, this situation, I really feel like the Lord in this season, he's just really like called me and equipped me to be a peacemaker. And I said, Joe, did I ever tell you the dream I had where God called you a peacemaker? And he said, no. And I said, well, let me tell you that dream. Let me just encourage you. Because I had a dream back in 2011 about this pastor and the Lord using him to be a peacemaker in my life between me and another pastor, and how it was incredible. And it happened just like in the dream. I mean, it happened exactly without me saying a word to Joe. It happened exactly like a week later. It was so powerful and so awesome. I shared that dream with him and he was like, that's incredible. That's awesome. I'm sharing with him the Lord's account of him being a person who bridges gaps for ministries, who helps people. One more fun little note. There's only three of us pastors in the room that day. Me, Joe, and a guy named Joey. Joey had shown up at our pastor's prayer meeting just some months before. And the first day he came, because I had connected with him, the first day he came, I introduced him to Joe. And Joe said, well, you know, who are you? Where are you? Where are you at? He said, well, we lead a synagogue on Saturdays, and we actually don't have a place to be anymore. And Joe said, well, why don't you come move into my church for free? And so here's me telling Joey he's a connector, he's a peacemaker, and we all have got that testimony, because the only other dude in this prayer meeting that day is the dude that Joe has already said, just come live in my church for free. You know, I mean, it's like anyway, I just say all that because I want to honor Joe. Joe Centineo is a godly man who sees the kingdom. And that's a rare quality. I really appreciate that about him. So he says, well, Brad, what do you need prayer for? I said, well, wisdom always, because I don't know what I'm doing. But I said, but secondly, Foreigner Fellowship is growing, and we need an answer fast. And I'm planning to tell my team a plan tonight that I'm not in love with. I'm ready to present it. I said, but we really need God to do something. And as soon as I said that, he said, well, there's an open lease space in the same center as the center that our church meets in. You know, over on Pioneer Parkway. I said, oh, yeah, I know right where it is. He said, there's another lease space in that same center. He said, I just want to tell you, I wouldn't look at it as competition at all for you to be in that center. Just as a point of real estate, okay? Landlords write into their agreements and tenants have a mutual understanding that the same landlord will not have two, you know, cell phone repair shops in the same center, or two car repair shops, or two law firms, or two churches. You don't have two of the same thing. It's a conflict of interest. And here's Joe, who would be the only deciding vote, going, that's not competition. I'd love to have you over there. He says, your people don't come to my church. My people don't go to yours anyway. He says, your mother and father-in-law come to my church. And they do. And I love that. He's like, this would be great. He said, well, here's the deal. He said, I know they'd give you a really good deal. Well, I've done a little bit of homework. I've over the years, I've been forced into commercial real estate in Arlington. It's not been my desire in life, but I've been forced to have to know a little bit about how things work, because we've needed different spaces at different times and blah, blah, blah. We had to get into this space, blah, blah, blah. So I know a little bit about how the market works. And he says good deal, and I kind of roll my eyes at him. I'm like, what's a good deal? Because I know what people are saying are good deals out there, and it's still murder. And I was like, your idea of a good deal, my... So he tells me, and I go, well, maybe so. And I said, that's pretty darn low. He said, yeah. He said, I've been there for 15 plus years. We've got a great relationship with the landlord. And I know right now he actually needs somebody to move into that space. I know he would give you a good deal, like the kind of good deal I'm talking good deal. And I go, well, this is the first time I've actually heard a figure that's possible. Because every other figure was 2, 3, or 3+ times how much money it was going to cost. And we're not at a place where we can pull that off. Not even a little bit. So this isn't a good deal. This is like if you got a good deal and then you somehow turned him upside down and shook out all the coins in his pocket. Like that kind of good deal. This is a shakedown, okay? This is a shakedown good deal. And I was like, okay. I go, well, what do we need to do? He said, I'll call the guy. I'll see if I can't get you over to the place this afternoon. Now, I'm planning to present plan A to the leadership team at 6 o'clock, okay? Plan A. Here comes mysterious option B. It's 12 o'clock, 6 hours before. And here, Joe, whom I trust, I mean, deeply, he says, not only will you come over, I'll help you, you know, figure this out. He said, I'll call the guy. We'll see if we can't get you in this afternoon. It's 2 hours later, I'm inside the lease space. I've never heard of this place, and now 2 hours later, I'm in it. And I'm looking around and going, this would totally work. We could totally do this. We could totally make this work. We could make all this land. And so I'm just shocked at what it is that the Lord is doing here. And furthermore, as Joe's telling me about this space, I'm feeling the Lord on it. I'm like, this is the plan. There are sometimes, it's rare, there are sometimes in our walk with the Lord, you just know that you know that you know, and it took zero convincing. It's just like you just go from, I've never thought of this before, that's the plan. This was one of those moments, maybe the most, one of the clearest for sure, one of the clearest transition moments I've ever had where I went, this idea that I've never heard of before in my life is the plan of God. And just convinced of it in just a moment. So now begins a long process that normally would take at best weeks, normally even a month or two to try to get these details worked out. They all got worked out, however, in about 5 days, okay? So I'm gonna just list out some of these. First of all, grace with the city. Whenever you're gonna move into a lease space, you're gonna need a measure of grace with the building inspector, or else your life is just gonna be filled with headaches. And I have plenty of headache stories to know what I'm talking about at this point. And so I'm a little bit hesitant. Part of the reason I'm hesitant is that this lease space is located in Pantego. I think, is this real, Lord? Are we really doing this again? How could it possibly be that we would find ourselves in yet another remodel situation in Pantego? I was like, really? I feel you in this, but I kind of wish I didn't. I'm having this conversation with the Lord, and I'm like, I think I got a little bit of PTSD right now. Like, if we could just change this space to another zip code. So anyway, I call the city, and I just kind of start from scratch. And I said, hey, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, who the building inspector is. I'd like to get them on the phone. Within an hour or so, I'm on the phone with the building inspector. It's a different guy than the guy I had worked with, 5 years ago or whatever, for Nora. And I like this guy. Okay. I like you. That felt good to say. I can't believe I mean that. I like you, representative of the city of Pantego. I like you. I say it before angels and demons. I like you. And so I like this guy. And I start talking to him, and I start asking him some questions, and I'm asking him all the questions that I know the answer to. I've done this before with Pantego. I know the answer. But I also know the Lord is doing this. So it has to be different this time. I just know it in my spirit. So I go ahead and ask the questions as though there's a possibility that there are different answers to the questions that I already know the answers to. Every question I ask, it's a different answer. Every one of them. I said, well, hey, this lease space, and we're going to use it for a church, and just waiting for him to slap me through the phone when I say the word church. So, you know, we're wanting to use it for a church, and, you know, how many bathrooms are we going to need? And he says, you know, for that size, you know, space, whatever, you're only going to need two. The building's got three, and we can always remodel and add more. I was like, really? Okay. I like the answer that you just gave me. That's pretty great. Said, well, I'm giving you a series of conversations, and I'm just kind of all wrapping up for the sake of time quickly. I said, well, in this space, are we going to need to install an interior sprinkler system? That's a normal thing in a large assembly space. You have to put a ceiling, a sprinkler system in the ceiling grid, so if there's a fire, it automatically comes on, and all the kids get to dance around in the wet, okay? So that's what that is. Well, normally in a situation like this, especially dealing with the city of Pantego, because we were this close to having to put it in, into the Nora building, which has a very small prayer room space. We were this close to having to put it in. I'm dealing with the same city 5 years later. And I'm expecting him to say yes. And he goes, oh, he said, no. He said, so long as your occupancy level number is under 300, you know, even 299, and so long as you don't have, you know, X amount of square feet in this assembly room, which we wouldn't, you're not going to need a sprinkler system. And I'm thinking, that just saved us 40 grand or 50. I mean, it's expensive to put those interior sprinkler systems in. They are a burden. We were this close to having to put it in over at Pioneer Parkway. I remember. I mean, we were real close. We were on the edge. Thinking, my goodness, that's incredible. I can't believe it. I mean, of course, right. Thank you, sir. So then here's the next part that's just great, in my opinion. So I'm talking to him, and I said, well, you know, what would we need to do to legally get permitted so that we can have a church move into that space? Because I remember well how hard it was to get our permit to have the prayer room be able to move into Pantego 4 years ago, move in for, get our permit close to five. I remember how incredibly difficult it was. So I'm asking the question, what's that going to take? And he said, oh, well, because Crossroads of Arlington, Joe's church, because Joe's church is already in the building, the entire building is already zoned church. You don't have to do anything. I said, nothing? He said, so long as your landlord is fine with you being a church, that's all you need to do. I said, I don't need to get a permit. He said, you don't need to get a permit. That was like one of the hardest parts about trying to get the prayer room over. It was numbing. And so I'm doing my best to try to keep my composure, but I'm like, I mean, this is really a funny thing to me. And so I said, okay. I go, well, how do you guys determine the certificate of occupancy number? So what that means is any building in Arlington or Pantego or wherever, you got a number of humans that the city says it's okay to have that many people in the building, but you can't have more than that number of people in the building. And they've all got these really convoluted ways that they come up with that number. And it looks different in all different sorts of circumstances, all different sorts of businesses, business types, square footage types, zip code. There's 100 things that impact it. And I've already been through this process once with the town of Pantego to try to get our certificate of occupancy for the prayer room. And man, did I have to go through it. And I asked him, I said, pretending I don't know any of that, I said, what does that process look like? He said, well, we could do it one or two ways. I said, okay. He said, we could either do it by the square footage and do this equation and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound good. He said, or you could tell me how many chairs you have, and I could just give you the CO for however many that is. How many chairs have I? I tell you what I want. I give you a number, and you say yes. I just shake my head, and as I'm hanging up, I have a powerful moment with the Lord. I hang up and I go, Lord, this is not the same city I dealt with 5 years ago. And I heard the Lord say, that's what happens when you get sued. If you guys remember, the town of Pantego got sued for all the stuff they were doing to us at Nora. they started doing to a church next door, and that church said, no, sir, and sued the town of Pantego, and it made national news. The town of Pantego got sued, and as soon as that happened, they turned, about face on that church and just started doing whatever it is they needed to do. They didn't just do that. They left us alone for the last 4 years. We've not heard a word. They didn't just do that. They changed their policies. So much so that now this new building inspector, he doesn't know it any other way. All he knows is when a church calls you, this is what you say. This is what you do. This is how you interact with them. And I just shake in my head. I go, unbelievable. And I heard the Lord say one more thing. Do you trust me? I said, Lord, I can't even believe this. So many times what the Lord has done for us as a congregation, let me just, one moment. We give more money to the prayer room than anybody because we believe in that mission over there. We want every one of you committed to prayer meetings over at that prayer room because that's our mission. We do everything we can as a congregation to support and strengthen that mission space so that it's a blessing for our region. Let me tell you how the Lord sees all that. Given, it will be given to you. The Lord sees, if you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. He sees these things. And let me tell you how so often it's worked for Foreigner Fellowship. The prayer room has to plow like crazy. And it's tough soil. It is difficult. But as we get moving forward, the prayer room winds up creating a wake. And Foreigner Fellowship gets to come in that wake, and it's normally pretty easy. It's a lot easier for Foreigner Fellowship to take the same steps that the prayer room takes over the years because the prayer room's on that front line pounding away at the hardest of walls. By the time it breaks through that wall, Foreigner Fellowship just gets to come along behind it, and it's relatively easy by comparison. I just can't even believe what's happening. I'm on, my jaw's down. Grace on our finances. Every other time I've done any remodel, anytime, whether for Forerunner or for the prayer room or for whateverville, I always start off broke. I start off with nothing or worse than that. Worse than that is actually pretty normal. And I just like, that's how it is. So we come into this moment, which again, I had not thought of at 11 o'clock Thursday, June 4th. It had never entered my mind. But by 12 o'clock, my wheels are turning. We actually, because of the last 18 months in this space, Foreigner Fellowship has been putting away a little bit, it's not a lot, a little bit of money every month. We actually are in a position right now where we have something to start with to actually do this remodel. We are not starting with zero. We don't have enough to get the job done, but we got way more than zero. I'm always used to zero or negative numbers. And here we are starting the journey with a little bit of money in the bank to actually help us with this endeavor. Well, I'm talking to John Neely one morning, and he says, hey, let me help with this. Let's go see it. So John comes over, and him and his business partner, they come over, and they look at the space, and we're talking, details and questions and stuff, and John and his partner, they wind up coming back to me and they say, listen, we want to help. We want to help make this awesome. And so Stephen's painting, we want to contribute the tape, the bed, the texture, and the painting through the whole thing. We just, pro bono, we're just going to throw it in there. We want to do this. We want to make it awesome. That is a tremendous gift to us. That is saving us so much work and so much money. That's a tremendous gift. I've done a lot of remodels. John, I could kiss you because I've never been in the moment where I didn't have to paint my poor wife. I don't know how many times we've tried to paint that wall. But I mean, it is such a gift. That is such a huge financial blessing. Well, let me tell you one more detail that is typically an expense that I'm actually used to. When we signed the lease on this building, when we signed the lease on Pioneer Park, when we signed the lease on many places, here's how it goes when you're renting a lease space that is not in the high caliber part of town, the high dollar amount, rental properties, when you're in the, kind of the doldrums down here. Here's how it typically works. You say, hey, the air conditioner in the building doesn't work. Can you do anything about that? Nope. Well, but it doesn't work. And it's hot, it's Texas, it's Texas, right? Don't care. Well, but don't you think, I mean, I'm going to lease the room from you, the building from you. Don't you think you should fix the air conditioner? Nope. You want it or not? Well, what's your address? I want to use some toilet paper that got saved up. That's just how it is. So I'm expecting that fully. John and I talk a little bit about it. I call the leasing agent back that I've been dealing with, who's been letting us in over there. I call him back, and I was going to talk to him about something. Before I get to it, he says, oh, and I wanted to let you know, we're going to have all of the units checked on and serviced before you move in. All of the air conditioner units will be in fully operational capacity upon move in. I didn't even ask for it. I just like, this is incredible. We had to fix this air conditioner this week. I mean, remember last hot Sunday? Yeah, I know y'all do. It's why the room's half empty. Nobody wanted to come back. All right, so let me give you another one. So I've got about, I don't know, I guess it's 50 things. I've never counted. There's about 50 things, whatever the number, that I pray for every single morning in my commute from my house to the prayer room. It's part of the way I wake up in the morning as I'm driving for my 5 a.m. set. I pray it every single morning, every morning. I know about where I'm at on I-20 when I pray that prayer, and about where I'm at on Bowen when I pray that prayer. I mean, I got it, kind of keeps me awake and keeps me from falling asleep. And so I pray the same 50 things every single morning. Let me tell you one of the things I pray every morning. I pray, just because, you know, why not, for the Lord to give me money. But I don't ask for money. I ask for specifics, for specific entities and specific things. Every morning I pray for the Lord to give me personally a specific dollar amount. I pray it every morning. I pray for the Lord to give Foreigner Fellowship a specific dollar amount every morning, and for the prayer room, a specific dollar amount every morning. And I don't tell y'all what those numbers are, because if you give me a different money, then that's cool. I wouldn't even pray for that. It's just extra. I don't want any people to know. I just pray for what I pray for. Every morning on the way into the prayer room, in the prayer room, I pray for this church. And since we moved into this lease space, every morning I pray, Lord, give Foreigner Fellowship $20,000. I pray every morning, Lord, give Foreigner Fellowship $20,000. It was really interesting, because the other day I was praying that and I realized, oh my gosh, yesterday you gave Foreigner Fellowship $20,000 and I didn't even realize it. I was talking to somebody about what we're doing here and they got behind it so much, they said, you know what? I want to sew in $20,000 into that remodel project. So they gave us $20,000. So we got that. I mean, this is all just in the last few days here, people. I'm telling you, this is not a month-long story. It's really 5 days, but then it's been quiet for 5 days. So everything happened in 5 days, I mean, or six. I mean, it was all real happening real fast, okay? So we got $20,000 towards the remodel project. Listen, just as a point of reference, to get into this space, the biggest gift we were given was a little over $12,000, which is incredible. I had to spend 6 months interacting back and forth, talking through the details with this individual that wanted to give us that money. I spent 6 months dialoguing with them for us to wind up with that $12,000. I spent 6 seconds dialoguing with this person and they gave us $20,000. I'm telling you, this is easier. This is just easier. This is a great deal. So just some fun graces on the building. It's the only space on that whole row of buildings, the way that the angle is, it's the only space that actually has some frontage of the building that faces or is pointed at the main street. Every other space on that has just got a flat front, which means you can only see their sign from a very interesting angle for a very short period of time when driving down Pioneer Parkway for a split second. I just love that. I'm like, Lord, that's just a fun little extra. Parking for days. This lot is enormous. We will not have a parking problem. We're working out those details right now. But furthermore, they've already had a church that's a couple spaces down meeting in that facility, having Sunday morning church with all the parking lot filled up with cars. Not all, but that half, that part. They already know what that's like and know that that's what they're getting into a second time with us. So it's already parking friendly for churches. Plus, it's an enormous parking lot. We have a parking problem outside right now. I don't know if you noticed that. We do. Every other lease space I've looked at, with rare exception, would have a parking lot problem. This is a really big answer to prayer that we would not have that issue as an ongoing detail, because normally lease spaces are made for 6 people to come in and get their watch fixed, not for, you know, 300 people to park their car to come into church. So it's the parking lot thing is a real blessing. I think it's pretty funny that last year for our Lord's Supper, we do that every year. We do a potluck meal. We rent out a pavilion in a park, okay? It just so happens that the pavilion we rented last year is literally a rock throw behind the building that we're at. You can walk out the back door and get to Bicentennial Park. The Bicentennial Park backs up to the building. Volleyball there on Sundays after church. Hanging out. I mean, it's like, I can't even, they put a splash pad in there, didn't they? They're like a little kiddie, you know, wet zone or whatever. I mean, it's right behind the church. When I say right behind the church, I'm not exaggerating. Like, they physically share a border. So you go out the back door and you walk over a little bridge and there you are. You're at Bicentennial Park. Its proximity to the prayer room is about a half a mile away. The reason that matters to me, let me just share this detail. This is kind of like, just for me nerds, just for me, but whatever, it matters to me. The prayer room has been planning to host a national House of Prayer Leadership Summit. It was actually canceled because of COVID. We had it planned in April, and we were anticipating probably having maybe 150 leaders of houses of prayer come from across the nation. We're working with a co-op that we're a part of, and we were planning on hosting that. The problem is we knew there would be too many people to physically have at the location of our missions base. So our game plan all along was to utilize some space from a local church pastor that I know, Max Shirley, incredible guy, Authentic City. They're another very kingdom-minded ministry in the area. They got a lease space just about a mile and a half away from the prayer room. It's awesome. We had it all planned out. We were going to do the event at his location. Well, COVID happens. The conference gets canceled or delayed, probably till the fall, possibly next spring. It gets delayed. I have been feeling like just me, not the Lord. I've just been me feeling like I really ought to call Mac and try to arrange to see if he's okay with us still using the space for this conference, either in the fall or in the spring. But every time I wanted to make that phone call, I felt the Lord say, I've got a different plan. I got this taken care of. You don't need to do that. I got this. Just wait. Just wait. And every time I knew it was the Lord, I just kind of wanted to still call anyway. Well, I didn't call him. I was obedient. I did good. Pat on the back. Okay. This space is one-third the distance from that space. And part of the reason that that works so well is because what that conference is all about is House of Prayer directors and leaders from across the nation coming to the prayer room to have a conference, but also to learn some aspects of how do you do prayer room life? What's the combination look like between the local church expression that a bunch of your people go to and your House of Prayer expression? How does that coordination look? So it's actually a blessing that they would get to be in Foreigner Fellowship's location to see the connection between Foreigner Fellowship and the prayer room so that they can see that and strategize even for how they would do that back home. We wouldn't want for the prayer room to do an event at our church, but it's not the prayer room's event. It's actually the co-op's event, and it's four House of Prayer directors across the nation. It's actually perfect. I just think that's just a fun little way that the Lord took care of us. Grace related to the lease, this is where it gets really good. Start talking with them. And another thing that's really normal, if you're the owner of a building, it's a very normal thing for you to want and to plan, and I've been on either side of this story before, it's a very normal thing for you to say, we'll sign a lease with you, but you have to start paying rent as soon as you start the remodel process. So who knows how long the remodel process is going to go? Is that going to go a few weeks? Is it going to go a few months? Are you going to get hung up by the city and wind up, you know, a bunch of way in? When we were over at the Pioneer Parkway location, we were in that situation where they said, we're not going to start you're going to be required to pay money the second you start remodeling. And however long that takes, you have to pay your monthly lease no matter what. It can go either way. This landlord agreed for us to be able to have an early move-in date, but that we don't actually have to start paying our lease until we get our certificate of occupancy from the city. That's the most ideal situation. That could not have gone better. For those of you who are like, I don't understand, just words, blah, 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 Charlie Brown's mom. I'm not hearing any of this. That's okay. Just know it's a cool thing. Just go, yay. Yeah, okay, good. It's cool. All right. Well, the biggest drawback for us moving out of this space in any of the different options that I was looking at was finances. It was always, how are we going to afford whatever it is we move into? Because we only have a little bit more per month than we had when we moved into this place. And when we moved into this place, it was all we could afford. So we got a little bit more, but we don't have quadruple, and we don't have quintuple or whatever the sixth version is. I mean, we don't have the money. We just don't. We do not have a lot of resources. So whatever it is that we work out, it's going to have to be like a really good deal because we're looking at a bigger space. This is about 2,000 square feet here, not even quite. That's really small. I loved the way John's a partner said, man, that's the size of a small house. I was like, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing over there. And so we've got about 2,000 square feet. We're talking about a much bigger space, which would normally mean a whole lot more money. Well, I walk over there and I tell the guy, the leasing agent, I just said, listen, I have a plan. I am planning to present to my leadership team this week. I said, I am the last guy you want to do business with. And the leasing agent said, well, why? I said, because I don't need this. I want this, but I've already got a plan. I said, I'm not going to pay you what this space is worth. I'm going to pay you what we have. And he kind of went, which was the right noise to make, because that's a terrible thing to say to somebody. I said, I'm sure it's worth a lot. This is great. I said, none of that matters. I said, we're broke. I said, we can afford this. So it really doesn't matter what you want or what you think it's worth. This is what we have. And he said, well, you know, we're going to need to bump that rent up year two and then year three in the lease. I said, no, I don't know that we're going to be any richer. I go, what if we're still broke? I said, no bumping. He said, well, you're not making this easy. I said, I didn't plan to be here today. An hour ago, I'd never even heard of you. I go, I mean, I'm here for you, man. Like if you want me, then you got to make me the deal of a lifetime. I said, because we can't afford whatever it is that this place is worth. Here's what we can afford. He went, the landlord's not really going to like that. I go, maybe he'll be in a great mood because I don't know. I can't afford what it's worth. And he said, well, you know, we're going to need to do this and this. I said, yeah, none of that really. No, this is what we can do. And I'll just tell you right now, if I were you, I would tell me to go away. I would say, I'm not worth your time. I mean, so if we're going to do business, it's going to be because you guys are just feeling really generous because I can't give you what this place is worth. And he kind of scowled a little. And I said, why don't you go talk to the landlord and just maybe he'll be in a good mood. And I'm under my breath. Oh, Jesus, let him be in a good mood. Oh, Jesus, let him be in a good mood. And I leave there and I said, Lord, if he calls me back and doesn't counter with any concessions, he just takes my deal for what it's worth, I'm going to know that I know that I know that it's you. Because everything I said, he should have at least countered back a little bit. He calls me back and he says, hey, you know, you were hoping that the landlord was going to be in a good mood. I said, yep. He said, he was. He said, he'll give you exactly what you asked for, no concessions. Okay. Let me just tell you what that equals for some of you number crunchers, okay? They wanted $10 a square foot for the space. We're getting it for $537. So that's about half. It's been on the market for quite a while because they weren't willing to bend on that number. $5.37 a square foot for commercial space is the lowest I've ever heard anyone get ever. You ever heard of lower than that? $537? Yeah. The lowest I've ever heard of. And we're not talking about the other person's story. We're talking about ours. $537. So here's the gist. It's never this easy. I kept telling Amy, well, all this stuff's happening, and every other day or every other hour, really, a new thing's happening. I'm like, here's a problem. Then the problem gets solved. We didn't even have to make a phone call. It just came to us. It's like birds are bringing us solved problems, you know? Like everywhere I turn, I kept going to Amy. I go, it's never this easy. And she goes, well, I know. She has to hear about it. You poor people get to hear the victory story after. My poor wife has got to hear the whole process. Amy, they were mean to me. They said this, that, and that. And she's like, man, you never come home all happy like this. It just keeps working. Everywhere I turn, it just keeps working. It keeps all coming together. We had this whole deal nearly wrapped up. I mean, nearly. In 7 days, really 5, from the first moment we heard about it. They sent us over a lease 5 days after we had heard about it. 5 days after they sent us a lease. And then we've been looking at that. And I love how the Lord has even helped that work out even better. John has got a friend that's a property manager, deals with commercial leases, that kind of stuff. And she graciously was willing to look at the contract for us and just look at every little detail. And I bet she had 20 suggestions in order to help us get the best deal possible. And then we looked at it and went back and forth. We've now submitted that to them and we're waiting to hear back from them. We haven't heard back yet, but whatever we wind up hearing back from them is going to be tremendous. If they came back and said, no, in fact, we're going to change the name in there to Forerunner Fellowship Stinky Pants, and they just wrote back and wrote our name in all mean, we'd still take the contract because it's such a good deal. Well, we got one more detail that's kind of a big one in my mind. What are we going to do with this space? Right? What are we going to do? I mean, I don't want two. You know, it's like I got no problems with one. Let me tell you another prayer I pray every morning on the way into the prayer room. Every morning since we got this lease. Every morning. Lord, pay off Forerunner Fellowship's lease on this building. Now, you don't pay off leases. It doesn't work that way. I mean, I guess you could, but it never happens. No one does that. No one would do that. So it's really kind of a bit of an odd prayer to pray, and I've been laying hold like a pit bull, man. Just going for it. And Lord, pay off the lease on this building. Well, when all this starts to happen, I call our landlord on this space. And I said, hey, can we talk? We're growing. And that's normally good, except when you're a landlord. We're growing probably means a pink slip, you know, coming or a Dear John letter. And so I go, okay, well, you know, we're thinking we probably need to move out of here. Things are, you know, going pretty good. I go, what are our options? And she said, well, you can sublease. If you found another church or group that might want to rent out this space, you could sublease. And I go, well, and I knew that was maybe on the table. I just wasn't sure it was written into our agreement. I hadn't reviewed it. I said, but the only churches that I know of that could potentially need this space, they all each got spaces in the last 3 months. So the two or three churches that I knew of that I could go and go, hey, would this be a good deal? They all got spaces. So I hang up with her, and as soon as I do, I send out a text on a thread that I have with a network of churches we're a part of, the Global Ministers Network. So if you ever hear me talk about Pastor Adam McCain, he's Amy and Mike's pastor. He leads a network, and there's about, I don't know, 10 or 20 guys that are all leading churches. I sent out a text message into this thread, and I just said, hey guys, we're growing. It's looking like we're gonna need to be out of this space. Do any of you know anybody that might need a space? I get a text message back within 1 minute. The text message says, you need to talk to my friend, Pastor so-and-so. He's expecting your call. I call Pastor so-and-so. Hey, Pastor so-and-so, is this Brad? Yes, sir, it is. Hey, good to talk to you. I hear you got a space. Hi, my name's Brad. And he is just ready to go. I go, well, you know, what's your situation? He said, we've been meeting in a Mansfield ISD school, Timber Ridge, on 360. He said, we have to do that whole tear down and set up nonsense every week. He said, my people get there at 6 a.m. I said, your people are saints. He said, well, they haven't been doing anything since COVID happened because Mansfield ISD shut down all their campuses and kicked us out. I said, so you haven't had a place to meet for 3 months? He said, exactly. I said, that's horrible. He said, you're an answer to our prayers. I said, you're an answer to ours. I said, you want to meet me over there? He said, let's meet over there in just a few hours. He comes over here. I meet his team that night. Now, again, I was on the phone with the landlord. Landlord said, you can sublease. I sent out the text message. A minute later, I got the thing. I called the guy. He picks up the phone. He can't wait to be here. 5 hours later, we're in the building. Him and his wife and his team are walking around going, man, this would be perfect. This would be great. Love what you guys have done with the space. This could be great for us. Man, we got such a small number of people. Man, we really want to do this. I'm meeting him again today here a little bit later in the day. I think this is going to land. It hasn't landed yet, but I'll go ahead and share it with you so you can pray. For those of you who Shabbat, you can Shabbat. For those of you who English and whatever, just pray that the thing lands, okay? All right? Let's just pray that it lands. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm feeling the Lord on this thing, okay? I want this to be a blessing to somebody else. I celebrate the fact that we put all this energy into this place. and that instead of it becoming, you know, Joe's Crab Shack or whatever, like it would actually go into the kingdom and another church would wind up getting the same great deal that we negotiated on this space, but it's already remodeled, ready for moving to be able to help them out. I want that. Let me tell you what we're getting here. Let me tell you what we're getting. This is going to be a fast transition. This is not going to be 6 months. I mean, I would be surprised. We'll see how it goes. I would be surprised if we're here in 2 months. I would expect we will not be in this building in 2 months. I strongly believe that, okay? Which means this is going to happen fast. We're going to over triple, more than triple our square footage. This is about 2,000. We're going to move into 6,600 square feet. We're only going to double our rent. We got a good deal on rent. We're going to go from a good deal to twice that, which is a good deal here. Stupid deal over there. Stupid. Y'all can just say stupid because it's a stupid deal. All right? We're going to more than triple the square footage, but we're going to only double the low rent. We're going to wind up being able to make this. And then because these guys are taking over our lease, I was negotiating, planning on having to continue to pay this lease every month. We're going to wind up in an even better situation if we can wind up subleasing this thing. Details on the space. The kid area here is 300 square feet. We're going to go to 850. The sanctuary here is 1,000 square feet. We're going to go to 3,000. The lobby is 300 square feet. We're going to go to 1,600. We're going to be able to start doing our lunches in the lobby instead of in the sanctuary. When we do our once a month lunch, we set up the tables and be able to hang out. We're going to be able to do that in the lobby, a real like entry fellowship kind of a hall area. We're going to have a briefing room of maybe about 600 square feet for our leadership team to be in, for us to do little training classes if we need to. We're also going to have a little kitchenette to help service, that it's not just a, you know, janky bar sitting out in the lobby, but we'll actually have a kitchenette of some sort. Let me tell you what we still need, and it's really funny to me the way the Lord does his math. It's really, really funny. For those of you who've been tracking with what we've been talking about over at the prayer room, it's really funny to me how the Lord does his math. The prayer room mission space is 6,600 square feet, FYI. Just a little point. Second, what we need to be able to get into the building at this point, like for sure, if we can get this, we know we can get in. It may not be everything we want, but we can get in bare bones. All we need is $15,000. I say all we need, some of you are like, I only make $15,000 in 2 years. Great, just give 17 cents. It all counts, it's great. If we can scrape together $15,000, and I promise you we can, if we can get $15,000, we can get into that building for sure fast. When we looked at all the improvements we want to make, man, it'd be awesome if we could change that, if we could add that, if we could make this bathroom a little bigger, if we could do this. It'd be good if we could just not just move in, but actually have seats to sit in. If we could move in, it'd be good if we could get a few furnishings and things. When we looked at that, we need another $50,000. So we're back to 50 and 15. We're right back there, 50 and 15. And so but this time I've got so much great, like, confidence, like, we got this. This is going to be easy. So anybody who can write a $15,000 check, just go ahead and do that now. Just put it in the offering bag. We'll take care of that. No big deal. If anybody can get 50, go ahead and get 50. Here's one thing I'm sure of. The Lord is with us. He is with us. He is moving fast. He's moving us fast. And whatever happens in these coming weeks, we're going to wind up in a really sweet situation. I want you guys to pray into it. If you have the ability to financially give to it, please do, because there is a little bit of a need there for us to be able to pull it off. And then again, all the furnishings and the build out and the finish out. Now, let's go ahead and have the worship team come up. We're going to sing a song.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.